Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. I hope you all had a wonderful Veterans Day, and if you're listening to this and you served our country, I would like to thank you. Coming up on today's program, I'm going to tell you a story about my high school prom date, and more importantly, we get into Saturday's UFC 309 showdown between Jon Jones and Stipe Miocic, and I also have an idea for Jorge Masvidal. It's a big week for fighting, and we got a lot to get to on today's program, so let's start with this. Bo Nichols says he could make quick work of Sharia Bullet. All right, now, that sounds right. I got no problem with that. I'm looking at this thing, and I must tell you, I'm surprised. I don't know exactly where the rankings come. I know there's a .com. I know they come out Tuesdays at 9. I know they're done by human beings who have never identified themselves. I don't know how many human beings there are. I don't know where they're spaced at or what their understanding is. I know there was even a statement that it will start getting done by AI, which is not something that I believe will actually happen. But I'll just share with you on the rankings. I was there when we as a community got found out. I was one of the people told. Fox used to have the rights. This is before ESPN care of the UFC, and Fox had a very famous room called the Avocado Room. Now, any television studio you go to, they will have something known as a green room. Fox's Avocado Room was actually colored green, but like an avocado. And I'm only sharing it for you, like that's where everything happened. Every meeting took place. Everybody in the building knew about the Avocado Room. Well, me and the Avocado Room. Avocado Room, noon. Hey, next Saturday, 1 o'clock, meet in the Avocado Room. It was one of these things. And I happened to be in the Avocado Room when they came in and explained to us they were going to do rankings. Now, they were going to go to 10, which is far enough, by the way. I have no idea how we got to 15. But the number one reason, and I was looking forward to it, Kenny Florian, the reason we were happy about it, is you had people judging people, and never does that happen, and it's fair. And speaking of it not being fair, always when it happens, it creates controversy. So rankings are a really helpful thing to have in your sport. Now, to have validity and to be considered mainstream, you need rankings. Might seem small, but it's important detail. Now, the rankings have never affected your card placement, which is what really matters. The ranking doesn't affect what you're paid to show and or win. It doesn't affect your ability to get a of the night bonus, as you've heard. I've never totally understood why we had the rankings. I've just been glad that they're there. I'm glad that we have them so that there's something to talk about, something to debate and discuss. Now, the fighters themselves had a totally different opinion as Shale. They got really into the rankings. And those very rankings that were put in place to appear to be mainstream and to give talking heads a jumping off point became the new and accepted way to get out of a fight. Now, no fighter wants to fight with anybody. And a fighter really doesn't want to fight with somebody that the general population thinks is going to beat them. And that's really true that you understand that, right? I understand that the fighter pops in like he's Clark Kent and he comes out of the phone booth and he looks like $1 million. I'm just sharing with you, it's an act. Like there's no group of fake tough guys quite like fighters. So now these fighters didn't really have an excuse aside from I'm chicken. Now they have an excuse in the rankings in that guy's not in front of me. So it doesn't do anything for me. And never mind the fact that I'm ranked number 7. I'm stuck in the mud. The top 6 guys are all stars, and they don't want anything to do with me. I'm never going to get a docket with one of the guys in front of me. By the way, this guy ranked number 11 that they want me to fight is a 2.5-to-1 favorite over at DraftKings to beat me. Like, never mind all of that. Never mind I'm going to prove myself. Never mind they're counting me out against a guy 4 seats behind me. Never mind the fact that I would love to have an easy day at work, no different than any of you that are watching this probably at work. I do this to bring you a little bit of relief, give you a little bit of an escape. Like, turning down a fight because you deem it's easy makes you an idiot. But they never have turned down a fight because it was easy. They turned down fights because they didn't do anything for me. They weren't ranked high enough. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever the reason being, it's still a no. It's still the way to find yourself at an acceptable no. So I was really surprised when Chimaev came out to take on Whitaker. Whitaker was ranked number 3. Whitaker was also damn near a 3-to-1 underdog to lose that fight. And it spread at different times. They ended up going off as a 2-to-1, but he approached 3 at one point. And then ever since the first time Chimaev changed the date of those guys' competition, the odds got closer towards Whitaker, but he never surpassed a 2-to-1. And when the odds makers so greatly disagree with the rankings room, I was surprised to see Chimaev was ranked number 13. I had no idea he was that low. I have no idea how he could possibly be that low. He goes out that night and jumps from 13 to 3, and that's just if we switch places with him. So now that I'm informed that the best guys in the world aren't ranked that way, right? Now that all the talk is Chimaev could be champion, Chimaev will be champion, Chimaev should get to fight for the championship. Now that we've done all of that with a guy that 1 week ago was ranked number 13 and nobody complained, I do have to look at Bo Nickel. And the top guys are talking about Bo Nickel. Chimaev is having to talk about Bo Nickel, even though he's not going to be facing him, at least not anytime soon, because of the protection afforded by the rankings. We got a guy named Rainier. Rainier might be the best one championship fighter not named Demetrius Johnson that I personally have seen. Rainier, in his UFC debut, would like to debut against Bo Nickel. Great, let's get them together. What would the holdup be? How could we possibly tell Rainier no? We're not like using Bo to sell a whole bunch of tickets with a whole bunch of famous guys that just aren't ranked. So if we got a guy named Rainier, I don't know if that's his first name, last name, or a nickname. I'm just saying it doesn't matter. He said Bo. Let's get him with Bo. Another guy is Shavkat Bulut. Sharif Bulut. Now, he's very over with the audience. And Bo says, I want to need but 90 seconds to get rid of that guy. And Bo's probably rounding up. That's probably true. Like, that's not a fight that I'm dying to see. I'm just trying to figure out, how do we get these guys together? Bo is now going to go into the Mecca, Madison Square Garden. He's going to take on a guy that's beaten a world champion in Jamahal Hill, first round, and stopped a world title challenger, soon to be 2-time world title challenger, possible champion, in Ankalaev. Should Ankalaev beat Pereira, of which he's a 2-to-1 favorite on DraftKings to do, he will just have one loss. And that one loss is by finish to Paul Craig, who is ranked nothing and has left the weight class. So now we put Paul and Paul Craig together. Interesting fight and a really hard fight. But we haven't solved the problem on how we get him one of these magical rankings. Mysterious rankings is what I should call it. And I just want to ask you, how? Okay, Rainier called for Bo. I think we should do that fight. Not knowing anything else at all that, other than that's the only human that's ever called for Bo. Great, I think we should do that fight. But Bo would like to get closer to the top. He would like to get that world championship. He likes that ranking of that 3-2-1 somewhere in there. But we're going to have to break it to him that we can't get it for him. Well, what if that 3-2-1 somewhere up in there calls for Bo? Can we do it then? I'm asking, if Chimaev, who you believe should get the title shot, doesn't want to wait around and wait for Strickland and Du Plessis to fight. Chimaev needs to fight somebody, and Chimaev says, I want to fight Bo. Can we do it then? Can we ignore the rankings and all the things about it that doesn't make sense, and the experience or inexperience, all the talk that we have, could we ignore it in that fashion? It doesn't generally happen. Generally, the top guys, Not wanting to do any heavy lifting or any extra work, not wanting to do heavy lifting and hard work and not get credit for it, are looking to fight for other guys around their same ranking, even though it was done by an unnamed party, which we believe to be three or more from some parts of the world that have never been specified, that will have a meeting of the minds every Tuesday by 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm just wondering, is one of the rewards of Chimaev is a punishment that he can't fight everybody? Because when he was 13, he could. When he was 13, he could float all the way to 3. So if he's 13, can we float all the way down to 23? Was that the time to get him to fight with Bo? How is Bo supposed to break in and get these top guys? If somebody that does the rankings isn't able to look at Bo Nickel and juxtapose that, if they can look at Bo Nickel and tell me they legitimately know 15 guys better than him, I'm going to ask him, how'd you get Chimaev so wrong? 2 weeks ago, you had him at 13. You claimed you knew 12 guys better than him, 12 guys that could beat him. How did you get that one so wrong? And once we acknowledge that you do get them wrong, could you then answer my question? Could Bo beat a highly ranked guy if the highly ranked guy calls Bo out? Playing John Jones is fun to do. It's also very hard. John, if you confronted him with a really good plan and evidence, if it's not something he was completely comfortable with, simply would not do it. John's own people. John's a big star now, right? You guys love him. You guys probably, if you're newer fans, 5 years, have no idea what I'm even referencing. When John was champion of the world, his skills were known. He was Michael Jordan-esque for his craft, but could not sell out an arena. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about. John didn't have sponsors. John wasn't a hot commodity at press conferences. And one day he was. He absolutely was. And John even spoke to it. He said, you know, my own people, my PR team, my coaches, my people, my circle have told me to embrace being the bad guy, but I never did it because I'm not a bad guy. I love Jesus. This is John talking. John actually said these words. He said, I love Jesus. How can you love Jesus and see yourself as the bad guy? And it was one of those things where there is an answer, but you know, my brain works on like a higher level. Like I would really have to dumb myself down to give an eloquent answer to that. And I don't see that like as to push his face like the puppy that missed the paper. I'm saying there is such an obvious answer to that, but I don't know that I would be the one to give it to you. I will just acknowledge for you that it does exist and wish you well as you continue upon your journey of learning. But John showed up to a press conference and he did just that. He did just that. He embraced the bad guy. The crowd went crazy for him. Here's John Jones, who could not be a bigger heel. He's got no belt. He's got no belt because the guy at the press conference with him, Daniel Cormier, has the belt. So John is going to return to take on the almighty Daniel Cormier, who not only knows nothing about drugs. Back when you guys were singing the praises of there's only one agency that can actually catch people, and that is USADA. Daniel Cormier had been with USADA since 2002. Yes, he was an Olympian in 4, but his reign in America started in 2. So his time with USADA started in 2002. And yes, every day, week, month, year, decade after that, until summer of 2008, Daniel was with USADA. But there was nobody claiming bad things about him like they did with John. Nobody that was an eyewitness to bad things saying, I was there. I watched him do bop, bop, bop. Daniel didn't have anything like that. And there he is with the belt against the guy that doesn't have the belt and who, by the way, has a rap sheet. And this is his first time coming in. Like everybody that understood anything knew who the good guy was and the bad guy. And the good guy's the one up there with the gold belt, the beautiful smile, who's been operating under the rules, and his name, Daniel Cormier. In case you guys haven't got there yet, the bad guy is the one underdressed, looks like he does not want to be there, loves that it's in Vegas, but just wants to get free again. That's what he actually has this look. of can we get this over with? And that's John Jones. And he embraced the heel side. In fact, John Jones had been clean for, was it 8 months? And the crowd, you guys gave him a huge ovation, might have even been standing. I was in the building, but I was behind the scenes, so I couldn't tell if you guys were standing or not, but it was the loudest part of the night, is that John hadn't used cocaine in, I believe, a 9 month period. And Daniel is sitting there going, hey, wait a minute. And he actually says this out loud. He says, you're cheering him that he hasn't been caught using cocaine in 9 months. I am 37 years old. I've never touched cocaine. Thinking that he would win the fans back to his side. Not to mention, he was using logic and reality. He was right. He was completely right. The crowd booed him for saying it. They booed him for saying it because there must be no virtue in that, Daniel. If you are not tempted to use cocaine, then the fact that you've never used cocaine isn't a sign of strength. John over here is tempted by cocaine. And we don't know how many times he says no, but we just know in the last 9 months, he's been consistent at saying no. So it is virtuous for him. Crowd goes crazy. When that was over, John said, he embraced his heel side. And John, for the first time ever, started fighting in arenas where the rafters did not look like people dressed up as empty seats. John, for the first time ever, starts looking at his post-fight participation checks coming from the UFC and all of a sudden is saying, wow, I didn't know we renegotiated my contract. Look at this. Thank you, Malky. Thank you, Uncle Dana. And Malky and Uncle Dana are both saying that's the same money as you could have got all along and as you will get moving forward. As long as the people keep caring and coming out to watch you. It was an interesting thing to watch unfold. And I wonder exactly what John's power is. John is not the sport's biggest draw, star, draw. He is not right now's biggest star or draw. He does not have any records you could turn to. And he's had some massive fights, but he doesn't have any records that you could turn to. Go, well, Connor's got this and this and this. Oh, but Connor won't get that one. That one, ooh, John Jones has that nailed down. They go back to Connor. No, Connor's got them all. John's not even on the list. He's not even on the list. Not for merchandising, not for LiveGate, not for linear TV simple ratings. Not for clicks and views on dot-coms, which, by the way, have a perfect audit. It's not only audited perfectly, it's publicly audited perfectly. He does not hold a record anywhere. But I still do think he has some power. Because while it's true and we are waiting for a foot to drop, John does possess everything that a mega star needs to have. I mean, even Elvis didn't sell very many albums when he stops making albums and runs off between military or making movies. But like Don McLean said, the king was looking down. So John Jones, it's very hard to do great numbers with a guy that's only fought once in 3 years. It's very difficult. And I share this with you largely because if we take all of those things together, right? One thing that John wants is he wants to be known by you, by the community, as the best. The end. John really showed his hand, and I respected it a lot, by the way, but John really showed his hand when Khabib asked the audience. He asked the ranking committee members, please, it was after right in the octagon after his fight with Justin Gaethje, the rankings come out next Tuesday. I am retired. I am of this moment never going to fight again. So the only ranking that I'm ever eligible for again, that you have no choice and you must rank me, is this week's rankings, considering I fought this week. Please make me number one. And Khabib had never gotten higher than number two. And generally hung out around that four spot. And they did it. They did it. They gave it to him. And now you're in the death of Khabib's career, largely which ended with the death of his father. John Jones knew those things. The Rankings Committee knew it. They showed heart. They had sympathy. It trumped everything. They wrote Khabib's name in. When they wrote Khabib's name in, John Jones spoke up and was furious. Furious. That with a heartfelt plea, he could lose his number one ranking. And I loved it about John. I loved it because he gave us a glimpse into who he is truly as a competitor. And he is ruthless. And he will operate without heart. And he doesn't want some of it. He wants to take it all. And I like that concept. I appreciate it. Khabib did not stay there for long. He did not instantly come down, but he did not stay there for long. And one reason that you're going to get more John Jones, and John Jones left the weight class, and John Jones took his time and asked all of you, who should it be? Tom Aspinall is not a name that you said. Sergey Pavlovich is not a name that you guys said. He listened to you. You said, Stipe, that's the direction that he's going. Now, all of a sudden, it's not Stipe. It's back to Tom. And one thing that will really drive John crazy is, how can I get to what I want, which is just that the people adore and recognize me as the best? How can I get there if the opponent that I asked the people is the right opponent, if they keep switching that on me? Which is going to leave a real conversation when the Stipe matter is done. It's going to leave a real conversation between Tom Aspinall and Alex Pereira. Now, I have told you guys that I can't say any more than this. And I'm not guaranteeing you you're going to see Pereira against Aspinall. I'm not guaranteeing you that. But I can share with you behind scene information, they would like to see Pereira versus Aspinall. I got to leave it at that. But what if John called for that fight? Pereira, after all, is trying to get to John. Not overly hard, but he is trying. Pereira, by example, is willing to go through Tom Aspinall to be guaranteed that shot at John. Or he can stay at 205. Got a great opponent, number one contender down there in Uncle Live. But it doesn't mean he's not open to the idea. Aspinall specifically wants Jones. That's it. Not the winner of Jones and Stipe. He's convinced that it's Stipe. I want John Jones. He's got blinders on. But what would happen? Because Aspinall's going to be there in the front row. They're going to throw a camera to him. See if John retires. See if John wins. See if Stipe retires. See if Stipe wins. But Pierre is going to be in that same front row. They're going to throw a camera on him. We just saw this happen 2 weeks ago. One of those guys got the nod. Lopez, Volkanovski were in the same camera shot. Only Volk was smart enough to run in the octagon. Now all of a sudden when you tell that story, you don't even bring up Lopez. Do you think that if Tom heads for the ring, Pereira is going to let him go alone? And moreover, if you have a really great choice for John, and it's between Pereira and it's between Aspinall, but John has learned one thing. This whichever one you guys say, as soon as he signs that, you're going to switch to the other. So couldn't John outsmart everybody if John, instead of accepting a fight, he called for a fight? He says, I'll fight the winner, make no mistake. But I'm not overly impressed with you, Alex, who's done nothing at heavyweight, and I'm not overimpressed with you, Tom, just because I'm not overly impressed with you. Things that he recently just said. So what if he told them, what if he said, so why don't you boys get together, I'll accept the outcome, but I'm not going to do this a whole bunch more times. I'm going to do this one more time. So make damn sure you bring me the absolute best guy. And I think the way to do that is for you guys to fight for it instead of talk for it. What would happen then? It's a what if. But John Jones never makes fights after a fight. Not for himself. Never tells us who's next. Never calls somebody else. Always buys some time. Always relieved and happy in the moment. What if? He's got them both there. What if? John wants to fight again. What if? John wants to fight the absolute baddest guy in your opinion. Whoever has that perception, that's who he wants. That's the credit he wants. So what if is a way of getting it? He identifies those two super hard guys. And right there in the cage, on the microphone, John makes that fight. Be very interesting. One of them's going to storm that cage, hoping to get the opportunity. I don't think the other one of them is foolish enough to let one have that opportunity, thus taking the opportunity. I think they're both going to jump in there. And I think if they both jump in there, instead of John addressing both of them, I think he used that time on the mic. He point to both of them. He remind them of Tom's belt, which is no longer needed because we aren't in an interim without a champion. It's just a contender. And I think John should make that fight. Fight fans have been waiting for two epic battles, and they're going down on back-to-back nights. Get in on all the action with my partners, DraftKings Sportsbook. First up, Friday night, Dallas, Texas, the baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson, steps back into the ring. He's taking on Jake Paul. Then Saturday night, in what may be the fight of the year, John Jones puts his heavyweight title on the line at Madison Square Garden. He is taking on Stipe Miocic. If you are new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers, you can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code CHAIL. That's code CHAIL, like the famous gangster, for all new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/MMA for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
John Jones versus Stipe Miocic is an epic fight. Or is it? Or is it? And feel free to answer the question, because you're not the only one stumped. I have noticed the master. I have noticed that Dana hasn't been certain in which direction he's going with this story. And it's a very tricky one. You have the greatest heavyweight of all time. Now many have said that, and that's on Stipe, and they got there with actual numbers. I believe it was that Stipe had defended the belt more times than anybody. I believe that's when we got to Stipe is the greatest heavyweight of all time. That statement was backed with that stat. And then you have the greatest fighter of all time, who is only lost by any reasonable school of thought one time by me when I ripped his toe off. And they're talking about revisiting fights. They're talking about at 12-6 and they're going to relook at that. And I would add, they relook at that when I threw his toe into the audience and people were screaming in horror. But I would only tell you that, is it an epic fight? Because it's got all the ingredients, doesn't it, guys? I mean, really think about that. Venue is an important thing. I cannot personally relate. But I'm the one on third base wearing a catcher's mitt. Other people can. Madison Square Garden, most historic building, the biggest fights in the world. Great. Live gate is going to be through the roof. I'm going to remove sphere. I'm going to remove that. I will predict for you this is the largest gate ever. I will predict that for you. I don't have that actual number, but that's not something that the UFC ever brags about ahead of time. They will come in after the fact. That becomes public knowledge. It's done through the commission, which is overseen by the government. It becomes public knowledge. So they come in and they will disclose it to the press conference, but they never really brag about it. And I'm only sharing. You can't get Madison Square Garden. You can't get the biggest gate ever. Even if I turn out to be wrong on that, where it's a top one. You can't have that if you don't have an epic fight. Now, the greatest ever versus, right, the greatest heavyweight ever versus maybe the greatest ever who only lost to me. And I say that because the world title's on the line, and there was opportunity for it not to be. There was opportunity, and there was even a bit of a push to strip John Jones. This was a fight that was made for March of last year. Yes, of last year. That was then rumored for International Fight Weekend of last year by Stipe himself, who never trolls us, and put out the actual artwork with the UFC logo. Do you guys remember this? And it felt like a troll job, which it turned out to be, but it was from Stipe, who never, ever trolls us. I don't know the truth on that to this day. I don't know if Stipe got trolled and thought it was going to happen, but then it gets re-signed. November, Madison Square Garden, and it falls apart. And an interim comes in. And an interim even ends up defending, but they kept the belt on John because it was important to get perhaps the greatest ever against perhaps the greatest heavyweight ever. It's got every ingredient, guys. I'm challenging you. What more would you like? What more could you point to a great big historic fight that had that this didn't have? I'm pausing. I'm wide open to ideas. But, whether this becomes epic or it doesn't have to do with this fight. It has to do with what happens after the fight. The way that this will be remembered, the legacy and the storytelling, whether you get a record live gate and you get the most powerful man in the world there, doesn't have to do with Stipe being the one, John Jones going right, Tom Aspinall being in the front row. It has to do with what happens next. And you cannot get to what's next, which I predict for you. What is next? Any which way they do it, what is next is going to be the biggest heavyweight fight ever. That's what I'll predict for you. Now, if that is John versus Tom, which is either John defending the heavyweight championship or it's John fighting for the heavyweight championship. And this is the part that keeps on getting missed. And I'm not totally sure how. You're not going to get Stipe and Aspinall. Stipe is for sure retiring. Now, I get that people have the right to change their mind. I'm telling this to where as good as the information that we've got, but it's been very consistent by a guy that never trolls us. This is going to be his last walk. Now, whether he beats John or doesn't, he's burned his boats. He's put his back against the wall. Some people are going to like that he did that. Some people are going to think that he's got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. That's all, to my point, going to be seen after the fact. But either way, Stipe walks. If Stipe walks, and I know you've been told many times, if Stipe beats John, becomes a champion, and then drops the belt and walks, that Tom becomes champion. That is not accurate. The moment the bell rings for John versus Stipe, John, your undisputed champion, the moment he returns, the word interim quite literally disappears. Can be no such thing. You cannot have a present champion while having an interim champion, which is why, not when the bout agreement is signed, not when John comes back, not when the headlines, not even when they get on the scale, not even the night of the fight, the bell has to ring. But the moment it was, Tom is then stripped. Relevance being, if Stipe was to win and drops the belt, it is not that Tom comes up. It is now a vacated title, of which, obviously, would be Tom versus John. And what if it's not? What if that very thing happens? What if Stipe wins, Stipe walks, John says, you know what, good idea. Here's your hat, what's your hurry? What if he does? What if he goes back to 205? What if he takes 3 years off? What if it doesn't go John into Tom? What if Stipe beats him, vacates, the media all has to come out and finally realize what I'm telling you in the first place, which is we now don't have a heavyweight champion of any kind. We will lose two that night. You will lose your undisputed champion should Stipe win. You will also lose your interim champion. You have a double loss, which makes the story better, which is why it's important that they get this right in the very first place. And then 3 months later, there's a big announcement that we're going to fill this void, and it's Tom Aspinall versus Ciryl Gane. No John Jones. What if that happened? Do you understand? It's what happens next that decides how big and epic this fight is. You cannot get to the final chapter of the book. You can't get there without this. That's why this is so important. This is why we call this pivotal, but that's why this is so pivotal. All of 2025 for the heavyweight class, the entire story, the entire direction you go. Ciryl Gane, he's got a big fight coming up. Sergey, he got a big fight coming up. He's making a comeback. Aspinall's got a belt, Jones got a belt, Stipe, what's he going to do? Is he going to retire? It does. None of it happens without this. This has to be a piece or the whole house of cards falls apart. And that's a tough story to tell. I had a hard time right there. You guys have given me 8 minutes and 23 seconds of your life. I'm having a hard time telling it. We have the best heavyweight ever, evident of the fact of the most title defenses. We have possibly the greatest fighter ever, only to have his toe ripped off and thrown to the crowd one time by yours truly. That should be enough, but it's not. It's not. It's a confusing piece. What took so long? How did we get here? Why is one guy retiring? Why is the other guy fainting retirement? Why is that guy got a belt that you guys keep saying is going to get elevated, which is absolutely against government affairs? I mean, I'm sharing with you. There's a department of the UFC known as government affairs, headed by greatest of all time, Hall of Famer Mark Ratner. You cannot have an interim champion. The moment the bell rings, returning your undisputed champion, which means you've got a shot. You got a shot to fix things tonight. You also have a shot for the first time ever at Madison Square Garden, the heavyweight class, to lose two belts due to one outcome. Imagine this. There's two professional fighters on the same card in the same weight class fighting each other unintentionally in the back, picked up on camera. Okay. Now, imagine this. One goes on to absolute stardom and a BMF championship. His name is George Masvidal. The other goes on to the undisputed world title. And you can't quite get them together. The undisputed world title also came with roughly 8 victories in a row. And the superstardom was a little bit of a different path. And before you could get this fight that happens backstage into the ring, one retires. While in retirement, the other loses the championship. So you now have the fight that got away. You have the great Anderson Silva GSP-esque in terms of audience appeal that the audience discusses and looks back and says, hey, why didn't we make that fight when we could have? What happened? And all of a sudden, it looks more like that fight can happen. George Masvidal came out, and I got to tell you guys, and it doesn't really matter. George and I got this, whatever this is, right? It doesn't change the fact that that dude is dog tough and is willing. And see, that's the things that don't generally come together. I have a major problem with the fake tough guys of MMA, which is, in a broad stroke, every single one of them that's not named Nate Diaz. And I think I need to put Masvidal into that same category. And what I'm just talking about is, right, you got this guy with these skills, whatever it is, but he doesn't have the willingness. He's not going to risk it. He's banging his chest about, I'll fight anybody. But if you look a little closer, that means anybody ranked in front of me, anybody where I would be the underdog. That can be a hard thing to do, to go into a fight when everybody's telling you you're going to lose. But some guys do thrive in that situation. It's very different when you flip it. When you say, all right, you are the favorite. You are ranked number 4 in the world. You're going to fight number 13. You're going to lose your ranking drastically. You're going to lose your placement on the card. You said you would fight anybody. That's been a one-way street of us building you here, but now and test you against this guy. And I just got to tell you, that is not George Masvidal. George Masvidal, who's challenging Leon, which is a very hard fight, but George Masvidal has no room for error. He knows that. George left the UFC I believe, on three losses. It could have been four. I believe it was three, and then he lost to Nate, and it's a total of four, or it's a total of five. But if you go back and look, there is a little bit more to it. Like, those fights were pretty competitive, right? Even the one with Kamaru Usman, there was nobody on the roster that could have taken that shot and not ended up spun around. Four fights. Four MMA fights in the boxing went against Masvidal. But again, if you look a little bit closer, the Colby fight, George didn't win a round, but it was a hard fight. He stayed in there. After round three, the math was against him. He was not going to win that, but he could stay out there for another 10 minutes if he's a tough guy, or he could have found another way. He stayed out there. I'm just sharing for you, like, there's a lot on that from a mentality standpoint, and this isn't me bringing that to you from some type of promotional standpoint. This is Masvidal. He says, and I quote, "Let's find out if I'm the guy I think I am." Now, I just want you to hear that, and I do want you to ponder that for a second, because everybody can relate. I mean, I'm talking about 99.9% of man, human, mankind. You will go your entire life whoever you think you are. If you think I would handle myself in that situation like this, if somebody approached me, I would handle it like this. If I was confronted, I would handle it like whatever that is that you tell yourself at an early age, you can go the rest of time. It's not, you're never going to find out. Like, that is the rarest thing in the world, that you would actually have to find that out in the streets, in the playground, in the hallway, in the cage. Very, very rare. So I only share that most people don't want to find out. Why would you? Who would actually want to find that out? If you could have a confidence and you felt like that, your life was just fine, you cruise right on through and some other people pick up on it and this is all where you fit. That sounds great. I mean, that sounds like the law of the jungles. The animals aren't out there fighting either. One of them puffs and the other accept the puff and you go right on. And Masvidal said, let's find out if I'm the guy that I think I am. And I will just share with you, that is rare. And that's going to be a hard fight to get. Masvidal versus Leon has got to be the most interesting fight. If you guys had a magic wand, you were going to find a fight for Masvidal. And you got to find a way to sell it, right? You got a guy, and he's lost a few, and even retired, and nobody gets better in retirement, but this dude's wildly popular, and he's still coming to events. Crowd's cheering for him. Then you got Leon, king of the world. Beats 8, 9, 10 guys in a row. Doesn't have a belt anymore. He's not going to be fighting for a belt next. He's got to find something to do. Wants people to tune in. Wants people to watch. There's a way they really complement each other. But Leon, who I don't know his ranking, but considering he just was champion, I would imagine he's number two. I would imagine he fell from champion to right in there. I imagine it's him and Rakhmonov, Kamara. So getting them together, I think, is going to be difficult. But I must tell you, I don't know that there's a better idea. And one thing about Leon, he's not answering George's challenge. But before you give him a hard time, he never does. Like, one thing about Leon, and he got painted with this brush, and I must tell you, I was guilty of it too, is, hey, man, this guy doesn't know how to build a fight. This guy doesn't know how to promote. But over time, as we get to know Leon, it turns out he's just a gentleman. It had nothing to do with he didn't want to fight this guy, or he was fearing that guy, or he didn't understand how the system worked. It had nothing to do with it. He was a sportsman. He had a certain code, and he followed it. So it's a very interesting thing. And I must tell you, I've been through it. The very line that George said, "Let's find out if I'm the guy I think I am." It's an interesting spot. And the mere fact that he is willing to come off of a four-loss skid and a retirement to walk right back in to something that challenging, I got to tell you, it has my interest. That's the fight. That's the fight I'm going to submit. I'm going to take George's statement. I'm going to co-sign it. And I would love to see in the comments, if for either athlete, George Masvidal or Leon, you have a match that you would prefer. John Jones said, I have never ducked a fight. The only fight I have ever ducked is Chael Sonnen. And we all know why. Did he compliment me? Because I don't think he did. But I don't know where the insult is. And we all know why. What does that mean? What does that mean? He said the only fight I've ever... I'm not ducking Tom Aspinall. The only fight I've ever ducked is Chael Sonnen. On short notice. And we all know why. I know I'm getting put down. Where's the... What am I getting put down about? What does that mean? I don't know. I mean, I assumed it was a side that, you know, because I'm better than Chael. I assumed, but that's what we're looking for as fighters. We're not looking for somebody to push us. We're not even looking for somebody to beat us, right? I mean, we're looking for somebody that... So if that's not the interpretation, then there is an ever so small chance that he paid me a compliment. Could that be? Now, aside from that, it was an honest answer. And there are times where a fighter will be honest with you. It's rare. And it's not their job to be. Their job is to entertain. There's two types of books, right? You got fiction and nonfiction. We're fine with both. Which one's more entertaining? I mean, I'm only sharing with you, but there are times when a fighter will hit you with something really honest, and you have to pull yourself back. I can recall Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier. And this is going to be for champ status. Daniel Cormier is the light heavyweight champion going up to heavyweight. And there was never a maybe. Daniel wasn't enough man. He wasn't enough body to deal with Stipe. And, I mean, they went through the buildup and the Ultimate Fighter and the rescheduling and what's Brock Lesnar going to do, which was far more interesting than what are these two going to do. I mean, it was just one of these things. 205-pounder is going up to take on a heavyweight. 2 days before the fight, 1 day before weigh-ins, and Daniel does an open workout, and when it gets done, he grabs the microphone, and he says, hey, you all want to make some money? Go bet on me. I'm a 2.5 underdog. Let me tell you something. I have never lost a fight at heavyweight. I have never lost a wrestling match at heavyweight. I've never even lost a round at heavyweight. I remember where I was. I said, oh my goodness. It was never even a thought it was Stipe. And I wasn't alone. It was a 2.5. And this one was in Vegas, right, where people can actually go in and bet. These aren't just some figurative numbers. These are actual people walking up to the window. And they're coming in on the fireman. And I remember when Daniel said that. And I actually knew about his wrestling career. Daniel had a very, very big match that nobody knows about because that's wrestling. But Daniel went up to heavyweight. And in the finals had Steve Mocco. And there was a very big match for a number of reasons. Top guy at this weight class, top guy at this weight. But then they got the Oklahoma State tie-in, and it's just weird. And it's an overly hard match to go out and do for absolutely nothing. I mean, like, there's a lot on this, and I just recall it. I didn't get to see it. But it was 1-0, and I remember that. I remember reading that, going, wow, I wonder what Daniel got that point. And I wonder how Daniel fended him off. And it was just something in my mind that when Daniel said, I've never lost a fight at heavyweight, I've never lost a wrestling match at heavyweight, I've never even lost a round at heavyweight, I realized I was getting confronted with truth. So when John Jones brings this up, I have never ducked anyone except Chael Sonnen on short notice, and we all know why. It's very interesting what happens if John wins and refuses to fight Tom. What would that look like? Now, I can tell you for sure, before you go down this road of nonsense, John is fighting Tom. But John is going to have some fun with us that he's not. Here's the problem. It's called marking out for your own gimmick. It is a very real thing that people will go through, not just fighters. Far more prevalent in WWE. And professional wrestlers, far more prevalent. But you will talk to people that run movies with certain famous actors that you like and you respect, and they're rich and famous, and their whole life is going well. And when the movie gets over, their personal lives, their wives, those closest to him, hey, you're not that guy. Stop acting like that. Stop talking with that accent. That was make-believe, and they got to reprogram. We are as human beings whoever we pretend to be, and some people like to call that the laws of attraction. Every 10 or so years, somebody will repackage it in some marketing format. The last time they did it, it was called The Secret. But there is some major truth to it, right? You're not going to be able to fantasize about a Ferrari and then have one, like the book will tell you, to get you to pay $9. But there is some truth to it. You'll never have the Ferrari if you don't sit around and fantasize about it, right? It's an interesting thing, and I only bring that to you. I've already watched this happen with John. There was, for nothing more than marketing reasons, it was thrown out that both John and Stipe would retire after this fight, and John grabbed it. I remember the day that John grabbed it. I even knew who he got it from and where he heard it to be in his mind to say it in the first place. But after he said it once, he got quite a reaction. So he said it again. And he said it again. But see, John, it's a hard interview to get. You get John to say it three times. Well, you've covered 7 weeks. So now all of a sudden, it's something that John has said and is starting to believe for the better part of 2 months. And the story that I bring to you is well over a year ago. And there's a part where you got to put cold water in his face. You got to smack, go, John, hey, you don't mean that. You never meant that. This guy said it. You heard it. You thought, I'll try this for marketing. You went with it. And now it's starting to get printed, right? And it's just like Mark Schultz says, it's okay to read what they say about you, but it's never okay to believe it, right? Whether it's good things, you're king of the world, or you're trash. It's never okay to believe it. And what would happen if John refuses to fight Tom? John would have the right to change his mind. Would we be in a situation like we had with Khabib? Okay, that has never been seen before. Let me give you an example. Once upon a time, one of the great combat athletes ever, Henry Cejudo, competed with one of the great combat athletes ever, Dominic Cruz. First sporting event of any sport, besides Submission Underground, during COVID, UFC 246. How is that? How is that for a memory? Can you believe that? Henry announces after the fight that he's walking. Dana goes to the press conference that night, says, I don't think he should retire. I think he looks great. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be back in the office on Tuesday at a matchmaker meeting, and I'm going to make a title fight for that weight class. If he is still here, I will find him an opponent. But if he's not, I will find two opponents to fight for a vacated title. That was it. Okay, great. Once upon a time, a guy named Khabib Nurmagomedov. And he has a very good and very interesting fight. He ends up finishing Justin Gaethje. And 29-0, and he just lost his father. Khabib grabbed the mic, and he retired. And the UFC said, no way. They didn't accept it. Khabib dropped the belt and said, here's your hat, what's your hurry? He did not have to, at that point, comply with an USADA testing agent. He didn't have to. Just to share with you, like that it's a big, those words have massive meaning. UFC said, no, keep him in the pool, test him anytime you want, and he's the champion of the world. Oh, by the way, they moved him up in the pound for pound. That wasn't the UFC, that was the media. They moved the guy up that had retired, that had taken himself out completely. They moved him up, and a month went by, and another month went by. And there wasn't even 55-pounders calling it out, saying, hey, put me in a title fight. Hey, this thing's vacated. Hey, let's get on. Everybody stood back. Oh, Khabib's going to come back. He's going to go to at least 30-0. And the UFC said, man, we want to meet with him again. It was just a very interesting thing, right? I mean, it was the same sport, not the same guy, but the same meaning, which was world championship. One made a comment, boom. If you change your mind within 48 hours, let us know. The other one, it took about 45 days. To understand. In fact, if I had to take the over-under on 45 days of Khabib saying I'm done before the UFC accepted that he was done and decided to make a buck, I would take the over. I think it was more than 45 days. And what would you do if John did that? But what would you do? John is going to fight again. Not maybe. John is going to fight again. The UFC knows that. And what would they do if John said, I'm out? I'm out, I'm vacating. Would they say, okay, fine. We've got Tom. We're going to get on with it. Surreal, Volkov, whatever happens here, we'll get you guys together. We're going to wait till John comes back. Is that what you would do? Or would you? No. Forget what he said. He said he was going to retire before. We made him at Madison Square Garden. Told you he'd show up, and he will show up, and we'll get him again. Just stand tight. Is that what you do? I'm asking, because Michael Bisping's already weighed in on it. Michael Bisping says you got to strip the son of a bitch. Now, in all fairness, you got to strip the son of a bitch. It's the very reason that you would strip somebody. It is the very reason you would strip somebody. We don't generally strip for illness or injury, save one Prohaska. I cannot recall an illness or injury where somebody got stripped. I can't recall it. It's healthy and unwilling. It's the very reason that you strip them. But would they do that with John? Or moreover, what if John didn't say it? John was all willing and said, not Aspinall. Now, he would need a damn good argument to get away with it. I'm just asking you, what would happen if? And I don't hate this concept. I don't hate it, and only for one reason. I do feel you guys have been a little fickle towards John. I do. I feel that John has come to the public and said, who do I need to beat? Who is it that you believe I can't or I will have the hardest time beating? And you've given him answers and then pulled the rug out. I feel that. I feel it happened with him versus Stipe, which then became Sergey Pavlich and is now on Tom Aspinall, and somewhere in there you could sprinkle Francis Ngannou. I'm just sharing with you, like, if John wanted to start messing with the public back, to a degree I would understand it. I don't predict for you this is going to happen. But I do think that it's good to have a plan and be prepared in case it does happen. And so I'm asking you, all wise ones, what would you do? All right, everybody, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And a big shout out to Isaac, who left a review on Apple Podcasts. It says, Chael, you claim to have the biggest arms in West Lynn, but the only time you have the biggest arms is when I pack my bags and leave town for the weekend. Well, Isaac, I appreciate the review. And if you ever want to arm wrestle, stop by the studio. We'll film it and put it out on YouTube, because I do have the biggest arms in West Lynn. But I'm sure yours are strong, too. There's only one way to find out, my man. Hope to see you, and I hope to see you all back on Friday. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.